Welcome to the Create a Life You Love podcast. I'm your host, Chantel Cox. My purpose is to empower and lift up others who know in their heart they're meant for more. More joy, more impact, and more passion. If you're ready to make a radical transformation and create a life that you love, then you have come to the right place. Let's do this. Hello and welcome everybody to today's episode of Thrive Not Survive, where we share tips from around the world about how to thrive and not just survive during turbulent times. So I'm your host, Chantel, and for those of you who don't know me yet, I'm an author and transformation coach who empowers motivated women who are ready to break free from the bondage of daily stress and anxiety so they can step into their full potential and create a life that they love. So I am so excited to be here tonight with Peter Lynch. Peter is a father, author, and entrepreneur, and he's excited to discuss how to leverage your untapped potential to turn difficulty into triumph. So, hey, Peter, how are you tonight?
Chantal, doing great. Yeah, thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
Absolutely. And I got to meet your one little one before we jumped on the call here. She's so cute. And then you have another one on the way. When's the due date?
Little boy, June 11th, which is coming up fast now.
That is a magical day. That is my birthday. So.
All right. Well, awesome. What do you know?
Yes. Oh, I love it. So tell us a little bit about you and where you're located and what your business is and just kind of who is Peter Lynch?
Yeah. Still figuring that out, right? That's part of the journey. Absolutely. So I'm living here in Colorado Springs. My business, Metamorphosis Consulting, I help business owners tap into the untapped potential in their business, usually the revenue potential that's there, maximize revenue while cutting costs. So it has an exponential effect. But the deeper purpose there is to really tie everything back into your vision so that you achieve, so that your business becomes a vehicle for your personal fulfillment. Because behind every business is a person. So my real work is the transformation of the business for the sake of the transformation of the person, so that that person, and I will love working with the entrepreneur because the entrepreneur is the creator of opportunity in their community. So if I can empower the entrepreneur, I know that they will empower their community. And I'm a firm believer in that, having spent time in all sorts of some pretty crazy situations, different places from post-Soviet Union, Ukraine, as a child to doing some work in the Alaska Native villages. I've just seen over and over the need for communities to be developed from within. And I see the same, it's a that's a macrocosm of the need for the person to be developed from within. We all carry what we need within us. It just takes that usually an outside force, an outside view, you know, some of the inertia effect to kind of stir that up from within us so that we can understand our own potential.
Wow. So you said Soviet and Alaska. And
yeah.
So those are unique places. What brought you there?
So I was in Ukraine. I grew up there. I moved there just after I turned four with my family. My parents were missionaries at the time. So we went there. I spent about 5 years there total. Used to know the language. Don't ask me now. Yep, I'm a Chuchuprosti. But I can do excellent Russian accent if need be, you know. In Alaska, I mean, I just needed to get the heck out of my parents' house. I love them, but you know, like I was 20 and I'm clueless. And so I needed somewhere to go, and Alaska seemed like a faraway place. And I figured, hey, I'll just go.
Wow, that's awesome. And then, was that where did you end up growing up in between those two?
Yeah, all over still. Okay. spent some time in Florida on the panhandle, and then a couple short stints in Australia. I love Australia. And then moved to Colorado, and I spent more than most of my life in Colorado now. But that's very relative to all the other places that I've been. So no native, no Coloradan. Very few Coloradans are natives. It's kind of a badge of immense pride to those who are. But no, Colorado's home for me. Alaska would be close second, I suppose. I love Alaska still. I'd love to go back, but probably not live there unless it was just for the summers, to tell you what.
Right. That's amazing. Yeah, my brother's stationed in Alaska and they're always like, come visit. Okay. And I'm like, I'll be very selective about if or when that trip might happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, go in the summer. Spring is mud fest and the fall is very, very brief, very short. So yeah, go in the summer. It's beautiful. Love it.
Awesome.
Definitely worth it.
So. Beautiful. So with your business and with all that's going on with COVID, kind of how is that impacting things for both your business and your personal life?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I mean, it still feels like I'm in a time warp. I'll tell you. Like, I've lost track of when it all happened, but I mean, it did feel like a very sudden turning point. My practice is I don't follow news very closely. I don't feel like it's, you know, I'm definitely a big, big believer in just cut out anything that's not building you up. Obviously you got to stay informed. But for me, the news is just full of toxin. Everybody has an agenda. Anyway, that's my opinion on the news, but I cut it out. So, I mean, I wasn't super, the downside of that can be I'm not super dialed in, but I usually know enough. So I knew this thing was going around. I didn't fully understand everything until it seemed like overnight, boom, things are shut down. My church is shut down. We're not meeting there. Any meeting was over. I think it was started with like any gathering over 50, ixnay, and then just kept, cascading from that until we were really on, definitely in here in Colorado. I think like most of everybody out there, we're on pretty tight lockdown and it keeps getting extended. So before that, I was, this business has been in the works for me for a while. I've been an entrepreneur for years and had a lot of crazy experiences there too. Generated more than $1 million of revenue for businesses that I've worked with. In different roles, different capacities. So I've been focused on getting my own launched, getting out on my own. And then I just had done that we were talking about it. Like it was 2 months, I think. I feel like it was end of January, early February I'd started. And then I was going out networking because I just love being around, person to person. I love it. I love meeting new people, et cetera. So I was out networking at all these local events and those just boom done, so it was definitely a pivot there, and obviously a little challenging just for the family to all, we're all stuck at home, and 3-year-old daughter, she's got a lot of energy and still needs to get that out, so it can be a different kind of but it's been really good. It gave me the opportunity, like we were talking about just before this went live, of just, it's a great time to pivot. It's a great time to reassess and look at, where do we want to go? And, in our personal lives, like for my wife and I, our relationship has just been we've been going through some really meaningful and deep steps during this time. Like it's just by necessity almost, but, I think that's the hidden blessing of this time. COVID, yeah, it's, obviously it's a crazy mess. And I know it's detrimental, I'm not making light of the fatalities, but I am saying that we have an opportunity, and that's what me and my family have been taking it as, is this is our opportunity to go deeper. We're not going outside, so it's time to go inside, do more reflection, do more building of our relationship, get to know each other on a deeper level, because you think you know somebody and you start talking, and things come up. So we've had a lot of things come up, for lack of a better word there, but and it's been a great opportunity to just work through these things and really come together in a more meaningful way, and really in the process find our vision for our family. And that's something I come back to more and more through this time, because I just see more and more the need for it. If you don't have a vision, this time, something like this, uncertainty will cripple you. But if you have a vision, it will carry you through. that's what's happening for me in my business. That's what I help my clients work on. A piece of it is just, you have to have a vision. What are you aiming towards? If you don't have something to aim towards, this time of uncertainty feels like it's the end. You know, you can't see past. But if you can, you know, the vision gives you that sight over the hump to see what are you going to, how are you going to leverage this time, first of all, and then what are you building towards when this is over?
That's awesome. So do you have any tips or advice for someone who maybe is seeking out a vision?
Yes. I would love to shift over to my fancy whiteboard setup here so I can draw something out that's been kind of a concept. I got to try to like figure out how I can position myself so you can still see me and the whiteboard. I think this works. But yeah, so this is a concept that's been in the works for me for a while, and I've been working, trying to develop more during this time. I mean, I'm also like very busy with my clients' work right now too. So it's the balance of working on my own business, working on some of this, these processes that are, you know, you get these moments of inspiration. This certainly was. And then obviously fulfilling and building, you know, my work is to build others' businesses. So it's a lot. It's fun. So this, I don't even know quite what to call it yet. I've thought of like power chain. But so this is sort of kind of a tagline for my business too, is person, purpose, power. So that three piece there, because it really starts with, I'd say your vision has to emanate from who you are. And I think everything starts with there, a fuller understanding of who you are, the depth of your own being, your nature. You know, I'm also a carpenter by trade. A lot of the work that I've done is carpentry related. And one of the things about wood is you can never change the grain. And each piece of wood has a unique grain. And so I draw that parallel to us. We're all like a piece of wood. We all have that unique grain. It's like your fingerprint. Everybody's fingerprint is unique. Now with wood, you can stain it. Like there's poplar you can make kind of look like mahogany if you put the right stain on it, but it's always poplar. Doesn't matter what you do to it. You can paint over wood and the grain remains the same. And we're the same. We have that unique nature and everything flows from that. And our nature is really how we interact with the world around us. It's very much our natural flow of energy. One of my own experiences was coming through, you know, in that process, you know, in that journey, I was telling you about some of the geographic locations. I mean, it, you know, and also in the midst of some of those times, you know, I went through, I mean, there was a period of several years where I was also in deep depression and a very self-destructive period for me too. I wasn't like going to jail and a crazy drug addict per se, but I was very self-destructive and just for years, just in this deep sense, despair, just very hopeless. And one of the things in Reg, because I've always been looking at the how did I come out of that? What happened? You know, one of the biggest things was a deeper understanding of who I am and how I interact with the world. During that time, a big part of that was that I was so used to suppressing myself. I, you know, and it's something that I know, a pattern I notice over and over is if we've been oppressed, we become an oppressor. You know, whatever it was that oppressed us, it could be, it's always, almost always a person. There's usually a couple figures in your life. It could have been parents, it could have been some religious figure, unfortunately happens, you know, a lot. Person of authority, person of influence, person of trust, oftentimes is somebody that says, whoa, you know, slow down, whatever it is, you know, they're telling you you're doing something wrong. It's unacceptable. So I'm sorry, as I kind of go on tangents here, I am trying to weave a tapestry here. But, you know, so for myself, I knew that I had become my own oppressor. I had distanced myself from all outside forces, and yet I was still oppressing and repressing myself. And so in that process, I went through that deep despair. Coming out of that has been part of the inspiration for this. And the first part really is that it's your person. Your person is paramount. Who you are is that first block of this power chain. And if you ever, you know, if you just hold, if you have the links of a chain and you try to push it along, all the links crumple up. You know, and that's what happens too often is people are trying to start with the bottom of the chain, which I'll t- tell you what that is. Stay tuned. But we too often get this message that you have to hustle. You have to just work harder, whatever it is. And it's like grabbing the last piece of the chain and trying to push the chain along. But if you grab the first link and pull it, it flows naturally. You know, so this is the first link of your chain, your person. And so this goes into kind of a whole nother sphere here, but just to touch on it lightly, each person, it were very much like the building blocks of the universe are the four elements, right? Now we have a lot more science behind it than that, but it's a perfect analogy. You know, it is air, water, fire, and earth. Each person is also made of those four basic elements. And each one of us has a primary expression. It's an energetic expression. It's how we interact with the world. For myself, I'm a type 3, which would be fire. If you want more information on this, I really highly suggest Carol Tuttle. She has a book called Remembering Wholeness, and it's really good. She goes into this in more depth. It's where I've learned a lot of this, along with other sources. Highly recommend her work, though. But knowing your nature, knowing your energetic fingerprint, you know, your grain of wood is so key because it helps you to understand you cannot fight it. You cannot stop energy. It's like damming a river. It's got to go somewhere. That's why every dam has to have a little outlet. Otherwise, it would just crumble and break. You know, you can't stop it. If you do stop it, so this was the thing for me, I was trying to suppress my energy. And so it was finding another way out, and it was always destructive. So either you direct it or it directs you. You know, that's just one of the key principles here. So understanding yourself, and for the sake of our time here, I'm not going to go into detail on the four types, but I do recommend, and I'd love, if anybody's interested, I know we'll talk about contact. I'd love talking about this subject. I'd love to tell you more about it. Person. And so the next piece, I would say your values come in heavily. These emanate from who you are. All right. You cannot do anything contrary to your values. Again, this is the next chain, link in the chain. This has to be in alignment. So, for me, some of my highest values would be integrity, honesty, not just honesty, but kind of blanking out on my words here, but just authenticity. That's it. Authenticity is a high value to me. I cannot do anything if I don't feel like I'm being authentic. You know, that's why I've struggled with sales. Now, ironically, I coach on sales processes, et cetera. But I've struggled greatly with sales because so much of it feels like a formula that's inauthentic for me. And so, again, this is just an example of there's conflict. It creates inner conflict and discord, disharmony within, and you cannot function. You're pushing instead of pulling. I have another great analogy for that I'll get to. So your values. And so the next piece, he's blue, we'll get all fancy here, would be your vision. Your vision is the third piece. So we talked about person, now we're talking into the purpose, because in your vision, you're going to find your purpose. I also like to look at it as in each of you, like I firmly believe we all have a dream, right? We call it our dream. Like there's something that echoes in our heart. And if you don't pursue your dream, the ghost of your dream is going to haunt you. You know, I think, again, it stems from these things. Your vision has to be in alignment, but it is very naturally. Once you understand yourself and you understand your values, your vision reveals itself to you. It's usually very large. It's usually, especially for us entrepreneurs, it's like, wow, I see so much I want to do. I could help everybody. And it's a little overwhelming. And then, so I'll put on the side here, a little sidebar of this other piece that ties into these two. Because the next piece is your mission. And I look at this, it's a little bit different way of looking at niching down if you're in business. So because your vision is often grand and big, but it's overwhelming. It's too much to start. Your mission is where are you going to start? For me, my vision is the fulfillment of the person. For me, it's to see that people find their fulfillment and are pursuing, they know themselves and are living in harmony with their passion and their purpose. That's my vision. I can't help everybody. You know, I'm just getting started. So I can't stay there. I have to find the place where I can start. So that's why, you know, to connect to this, I hope this shows up. Yes, more or less. So let's say that's a super big circle. That's your vision. inside your vision, you find your mission. And it's that one place where you can start right now. For me, that's to help entrepreneurs tap into that latent potential of their business, increase revenue while decreasing costs, you know, or at least keeping them the same. We're going to increase revenue without increasing marketing and advertising spend, you know, because by doing that, I know that that shifts the way their business, the way they interact with their business, and it creates that freedom where they have the space to start to think again, what is my vision? Because if you're day to day running in the hamster wheel of being run by your business, you can't even take a break to take a breath and think, man, who am I and what do I actually want to do here? Because I'm just going day to day. That's a recipe for burnout, failure, frustration, disaster. So to break that though, you know, you have to have a mission and you have to understand how that connects to the whole. And the beauty of this, it's different than niching, because niching feels like it's always been my painful struggle. How can I pick a niche when I have such a big vision? Well, you're not letting go of your vision. You honor your vision while starting with your mission, and your mission expands. And I'm willing to bet your vision does yet as well. Right. I'm in the process myself, but I feel like my vision is already kind of expanding every step and I can't get ahead of myself. But anyway, that's where this comes from, is to help me. And I feel like it helps others. I know those who I've shared it with get a lot of value out of this, of just having a new way to frame this. So then down here, what we come into the power piece of this comes in with strategy. Oh, good. I'm spelling real good. And I'm on interview with somebody with an education degree. This is
teachers have misspellings too. Don't worry.
So hopefully, it shows up. So strategy and tactics are the bottom two pieces of the chain. Now, it's where things happen, right? This is all very it's a little bit philosophical, esoteric work, right? Really, where things happen is the tactics. That's action. It's the hustle, right? It's taking a step, taking an action. But I'm vehemently opposed to hustle without purpose. I just think it's madness. It's the same as grabbing the chain from the bottom and trying to push it upwards. It doesn't work. Grab the chain from the top and pull it. And you'll see, you know, it works completely differently. Strategy is simply... Well, it's not simply. I mean, it's in marketing terms. So quick takeaway for all you business owners, right? Tactics are where you're placing your ads. It's where you put your message. It's where you say your message. Strategy is what you're saying and who you're saying it to. So strategy is integral to understand before you engage in the tactics, because if you're missing the strategy, it's like lighting your money on fire for fun to watch it burn. You know, another bridge analogy for this would be, let's just start at the vision part. You know, we have a vision of connecting communities. The mission is there's these two communities divided by, say, a body of water, like a big river. So we're going to build a bridge to connect those two. The strategy is, what kind of bridge are we going to build? In this case, let's say it's going to be a steel suspension bridge. Tactics are, okay, what kind of steel are we using? What's the gauge of the suspension, et cetera. It's all just the nuts and bolts. Let's put it together.
That's awesome. So for those of you joining us live, do you have any thoughts or questions about this as you're kind of digesting this? Yeah, I don't know what to call it either, this formula.
Yeah, we'll call it the power chain. That's the best I've come up with yet. If any of you have a good suggestion, let me know. But yeah, no, I'm excited about this. I really, love to hear some feedback. Anything, questions?
Awesome. Go ahead, Alyssa.
Okay, thanks. I was going to say, I've been learning lately about keystone habits and also like stacking habits. And so what you're saying right now is ringing a lot to that too. I think that they can go hand in hand together as well. As far as like when you build your keystone habit, what is your trigger or your cue? And then what kind of routine are you following? And then what kind of reward are you getting, good or bad? And so I think, I don't know, for some reason I'm connecting that with it. So I think that's, it makes sense to me.
Yeah.
So.
No, that's great. I'm not aware of, what was it, keystone and?
Keystone habits and stacking habits.
Stacking habits. Okay. I'm going to, yeah.
So for example, a stacking habit would be you're doing two habits at once and you're conquering two things over just one. Okay. So like if your goal is to exercise, I don't know, give a small example real quick. And you're washing your hands a lot during this pandemic. Okay. So maybe you go, or you're drinking a lot of water to stay healthy, right? So you go to the bathroom a lot more. So like stacking your habit would be like, I'm going to do 5 push-ups every time I am finished just going to the bathroom. And then I have to wash my hands because I touched the floor. Okay. So that's just a mere example of stacking, small example. But you can apply that to life, I think, too.
Absolutely.
I love that. Yeah. One of the habits I teach is the affirmations. And so that's where I've used stacking before is once you've written your affirmation, put it on a post-it next to like your mirror. So when you're brushing your teeth, because hopefully we all brush our teeth at least twice a day, then you can build that second habit of practicing your affirmations and stuff. So yeah, that stacking habits I'm familiar with. I'll have to look up the keystone habits, Alyssa. I wrote that down for me to look up onto. I'm interested.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a big productivity geek. I guess you could say I'm a geek about a lot of things, anything that I get interested in. So no, that sounds interesting. I'll definitely have to check it out. That reminds me, talking about productivity, the other analogy kind of for this, which is your motivation as well. Because again, with the analogy of using a chain and how you push or pull a chain along, pushing a chain along is way more work. And it's completely ineffective, right? So the motivation aspect, you're either, and this ties right back into vision. Vision is the anchor point of this. You're either being pushed or you're being pulled, right? Steve Jobs talks about having such a great vision that it just pulls you forward. I'm not going to try to quote it because I don't remember. You know, I just garble it up right now, but that's the effect of what he has to say. Excuse me, I'm kind of embarrassed. Every time I drink water, I start burping. And my roommate used to harass me about this. He said, I'm the gassiest person he knew, and I still am. So I'm going to try to just not drink as much water and risk dehydration for the sake of not gassing you all out through digitally.
Be authentic, because you're fine.
Right. Here I am. If you're walking through the jungle, right? You're walking through the down the path in the jungle in Burma and a tiger steps out of the grass in front of you, you're going to turn around and you're going to run like hell, because if you don't, you're going to be a tiger snack. That's push motivation. The downfall of push motivation, and I bring this up because especially entrepreneurs, we're guilty of this so often. We feel like I can't get anything done if there's not a spear to my back. You know, I have to have some kind of deadline or something. It's because of a lack of vision is what it comes down to. It's just like the hard reality. If you feel like you can't work unless there's something driving you, you don't have strong enough of a vision. You're being driven by push motivation, which is the fear of the tiger. But the closer you get to your objective, which is safety, the farther you get from danger, the more you slow down. Push motivation is never enough to carry you to your goal. You actually will slow down to the point of stopping before you get to safety. You know, in this case, now if the tiger catches up, yeah, you'll just keep going. But it's the thing, if you're always, you actually develop a habit where you want your, and this is energetic too, back to some of this, the way we energetically work, we create energy patterns. And so an energy pattern we create, and energy is magnetism. I mean, there's no, I'm not woo-woo. If it sounds woo-woo, I'm not a very woo-woo person. I'm very pragmatic, but also spiritual. I don't know. I don't want to get too goofy here, but I'm just, you know, like energy is magnetism's energy. Sorry. And magnetism is the best example because like attracts like, you know, so when you create this energetic pattern, you're actually projecting it out there. I'm looking for a tiger to chase me because it's the only way I can move forward. And so then tigers keep showing up in your life. It's expanding. We live in an expanding universe. So everything expands, either our lack or our abundance, either your vision or your fear, you know, and the way out of fear is through vision. The way out of, for me, my path out of deep, deep despair was starting to grapple with who the heck am I? What's my vision? So the flip side of this is the pull motivation, which magnets make another great example. The closer two magnets come, the stronger that force is. It's to the point where it becomes the wormhole effect of this. If this is your goal and you're coming towards it, you accelerate the closer you get to that until you break through the other side. So it's a stacking type of thing. It's not, oh, I want to reach this and then I'm done. It's what lies beyond. You're climbing the mountain. You see a fault, you know, you see the summit that you're drawn to the summit that you can see. Beyond that, there's more. We don't know our own depth. That's the mystery of, like, you know, I mean, again, like, I'm big into fractals, and I mean, just think about all the microcosm and the macrocosm. Just the human being physically, we cannot see ourselves, but when we put it under a microscope, what happens is we see a new universe expands. So we don't even know, right? We don't even know the edge of the universe. We don't know the depth of the human being, if that makes sense. Like, we don't even know what the smallest particle is. We keep finding quarks, and then there's like string theory, you know, and it just harkens back to that we touch the infinite at all times, and our perception fools us. But there's so your vision becomes something that you can only move towards what you see right now, but the closer you get to that, the more it attracts you. That's the power of it. And it's life-giving. It's invigorating. Push is draining. You're always tired.
I love that analogy. Like, the whole everything, and then how you lit up while explaining it too. Like, I like seeing all that too. And then, because it's very infectious, because then I'm like, oh yeah, now I'm really excited about this too. But there was one part where you said something and I was just like, what? Like, mind blown emoji, like right there. It was when you were talking about, because I'm familiar with, you know, manifesting and attract and scarcity versus abundance mindset and kind of, you know, that kind of semi woo woo stuff, but it is all brain based, science back research as well.
Exactly.
It's just more known in the woo woo world, and we're finally getting it scientific.
Finally catching up scientifically. Yes.
Yeah. And you said, now I can't remember the words that you said, but I was just like, oh my gosh. It was about, like, you're attracting the tiger. You're saying, like, if I can't get anything done without this deadline, without this kind of scarcity, then you are just opening yourself up and being like, come here, scarcity, come and find me. Come here, tiger, come chase me. And I was just like, oh my gosh, I've never thought of it in that way. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. And eye-opening as I reflect on my own practices and stuff. So, how about Shelly and Alyssa, any big mind blown emoji things for you so far?
The founder of my company says along the same lines, you said we live in an expanding universe, we're either growing or declining. He says the same thing, you know, the space shuttle or whatever is only on, I'm going to totally mess this up, but they're only on course like 1% of the time. Like 99% of the time, or whatever the actual percentages are, they're adjusting just like we do. If we just held our steering wheel while we drive, we would run off the road. We have to, you know, kids, even when they're imitating us, right? They're doing this because we don't just stay on one track and one path. And he says the same philosophy. You're either, you know, there is no maintaining. When people say, how are you? Oh, I'm good. I'm maintaining. No, you're really not. You're either growing or you're declining. But my question to you is then, because I'm very much a carrot person. You put a trip in front of me, I'm earning it. You put anything in front of me, I'm getting it. So my aha moment was when you said, then your vision isn't clear enough. if you need that carrot, which was a kind of a slap to me because I was like, whoa, the hell he says, yes, my vision is very clear. And then I'm like, oh, but wait, then. So that's been something for me to think about. So if a person gets to where I am and says, okay, maybe it is my vision. What's your advice then? I mean, obviously, duh, go work on your vision, but what's your advice for that, for bridging that? Okay, I'm a motivated person. I'm very successful, but maybe my vision is off a bit because I do need that carrot to drive me. What would be your advice?
Mm-hmm. Get a bigger carrot. But, no, I mean, I think in the first place, you know, thank God you're in a healthy place where you're driven by something positive, right? You're not being, you are being pulled. Now it might be something that once it's gone. So it's not a lasting vision. And that would be the difference between the vision and the carrot, but they are both, they're pulling you. That's better than just being, you know, it on the flip side, something like, you know, from experience, just kind of know this thing of like, well, I have to have some kind of bad consequence or I'm just going to lay in bed all day, you know, or whatever. I didn't really lay in bed all day, but I'd play a lot of video games, for instance, and just not be working on myself because I had nowhere to go. So there was just, for me, I just couldn't, you know, not to get lost in that, but I mean, I was just in this place where I just couldn't see beyond the day to day. So I just thought, well, why even bother trying? So I, you know, I've always had respect for people like you that could motivate themselves. I never did. I never even had a carrot. So I just, but when it comes to developing that bigger vision, I think it ties into, because either one, I do think that either way, when we get in the middle of doing, what happens is it becomes a type of drug that numbs us from hearing these pieces. Because it's, again, it's like it's an echo. Sometimes it's only like there's a pain, almost a weight on my heart, you know, that I've felt it sometimes. It's really been a deep part of my journey of just feeling I know that there's something almost pressing. You know, you hear this language as some people use of something pressing on their heart. And I very much feel that at times. It's like, this is, I know I can't possibly ignore this. Don't quite know how to get there yet, you know, at different stages. Even now, like sometimes my own vision is just like, why do I have that? Like, but again, that's where the mission comes in, et cetera. But I mean, it does feel like so much. My feeling is most all of us, when we take the time for reflection, and, you know, one of the practices, I haven't been the greatest at keeping up on it lately, but just being authentic, I guess, right? Telling you all the warts. But one of the things I do recommend is, I mean, just very much, you can start doing this today, is at least for the first 5 minutes, if you can't do more, start when you can, do not have any digital interaction. Keep everything off. So that, because in that space, because we live in this distracted world, that there's all this stuff going on, and it carries us along. And so whether we're trying to escape something or trying to achieve something, if it's both ways can become something that distract us from that ability to be in harmony with our own self. And it's only when we're in harmony with ourselves that we even give ourselves permission to open up about, you know, like, have you ever had the experience where you start to share something deeply personal and somebody else is a little like, you know, they kind of shoot you down a little bit and it's painful. You kind of retract inside. I think that we have that dichotomy even within ourselves. It's like our inner child is like, I really want to share this with you, but I'm scared that you're going to tell me, hey, not right now, you know, go back in the corner. And that's kind of what we get wrapped up in when we're in the day-to-day hustle bustle of things that need to happen, right? Things that are good, sometimes things that are bad, just depending on the case to case. But there's this, it's that, do I have room to draw that? It's a quadrant. I'm just going to draw this quadrant and I'll just word it out. So there's, you know, important, not important, and then there's urgent and not urgent. If you draw that out, what happens is you have something that's important and not urgent. And that's where you have to make the time for. And you won't make the time unless you do it consciously. And to really get into what is really important to me, but never urgent, because it's never happening. Usually, if we don't make time for this and be conscious about this, what happens is we're driven by the two things that are urgent. Some are important, some are just totally unimportant, and yet we're still responding to it. And that's when you live life responsively, or reactively rather, you're never developing your vision. You're living down here, right? You're living on, what do I need to get to the next step? So it's always a very short, so the vision is something that really expands and protracts out the course of your life. Like, what is your, if your life has a single, refrain to it, like a song, there's a harmony, there's a beat. We all have a rhythm, an energy, a fingerprint. There's something in your life that if you were to draw it out and at the end of your life, look back, you know, I don't mean to sound morbid, but this is something that I really find value in, is projecting myself to the end of my life, looking back, what is it that, you know, what do I want to leave behind? You know, that's also your vision. That's a good way to get at it. You know, it's not like, it's not roses, but it brings it out. And again, these are just practices that are best done before you get distracted, right? So I keep my phone off or on airplane mode, one of the two, and I just don't even check it. Same with the computer, et cetera. Just get out old fashioned pen and paper and journal. That's kind of a long answer. I hope this is making sense. Useful?
Very, very useful. This is amazing.
Good. Awesome.
And lots of notes for anybody listening to this on the podcast later. If you want to see the visual that Peter has drawn out on his whiteboard, just jump over to the Create a Life You Love community. It's a free Facebook group. All the replays are going to be in there. Awesome. So, before we completely kind of open it up to questions, is there any more pieces of this? I don't want to cut this. I'm going to leave anything hanging.
No, that's the power chain.
Power chain brought to you by Peter.
Right Litton. There. That's right. So.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Each, you know, I guess I would just end with this. It's not to say that one piece is unimportant or less important. What I just find, you know, I talk a little. I can sound like I'm talking down about tactics and hustle, like it's something bad. I don't believe hustle's bad. I love taking action. It's important, but it's inspired action is what you need. And inspiration stems from here. You know, it stems from the top sections, top areas. It's, if you were to draw, you know, a line of power, the power comes from here and connects downwards. You can't generate it from the bottom. It just doesn't happen. But all that to say, when this is in place, you got to take action or else it'll never happen.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. I mean, there's been times in my life where I'm just stuck on the hamster wheel and I can see in reflection. Sorry, my cat's trying to say hello. I can see when I reflect back on those times, I'm like, I was stuck in that strategy and that tactics, and I was pushing the chain. I'm doing all this to get to this end goal. We've all been there. You can spin around your to-do list for 3 days and get nothing done.
Right.
So, Shelley, I would think, just knowing a little bit about your situation, you sell Niora products, but you are doing so much more. You're connecting with people, you're helping people, you're educating people. So while, yes, your company dangles some pretty fantastic carrots in front of your face and takes you on these amazing trips, and so that is pulling you because you want that trip, if because of the economy and everything that's happening right now, you can't travel right now, so that trip right now doesn't exist. That carrot is gone, but you're still working on your business because you have a deeper vision and it aligns with your values and who you are as a person. So.
Yes. That was well worth getting on here for just by itself. Thank you, Chantel. No, I love this. Some good nuggets. And when you hear something that reinforces something you've heard before, it's like hearing it, you know, an extra time, three times. So awesome. Thank you so much, Peter.
Absolutely.
Awesome. So tell us a little bit about the ebook that you just released. Is that it behind you? Do you have a paper version?
Oh, yeah.
Peeking out behind you there.
So that's my book. So that one's pretty specific to business owners. I go through a lot of strategy in that one. Not so much into this, but it's a great, yeah, if you've got a business and you're looking for some really just practical steps you can implement. Again, these are, the point of it was no cost strategies that can have an immediate and, or not always immediate, but a definite dramatic impact on your revenue and your bottom line. It's how to increase your profit and your revenue. And obviously you can't increase profit without revenue, but well, you can. Sorry, then I'm getting lost on my own tangents. They talked about like the hamsters going around. I feel like it's a lot going on really fast. And then I get spun out. Anyway, the main point is, yes, it's all about increasing your revenue and your profit without spending more on marketing and advertising. Not that I'm against those. I love marketing and advertising. It's just a matter, I just witness that a lot of people spend money and don't see a return. So this is all about how to structure yourself properly so that when you do go to spend money, you're going to see a very good return.
Awesome. And so for anyone watching live or on the replay or listening to the podcast later, how can they get in touch with you to learn more about you or connect with you, work with you, whatever?
Best way is just send me an email directly. I'll give you my personal, which is peter@greatmarketing.pro. Again, that's peter@greatmarketing.pro. And that's direct to me. Send me a message. If anybody's interested in sitting down for a one-on-one, we can have a 45-minute session, look at your business, and do an audit directly to see what the untapped potential there in your business is, according to a lot of the strategies that I talk about in the book and how we could implement those, et cetera. Obviously, it's an opportunity to also work with me to build those things out in the business, but there's no obligation. It's a lot of fun. And generally, can find at least $100,000 of additional revenue, which you didn't know about. So if that's not worth 45 minutes, I don't know what is.
That's awesome. And do you work with a variety of types of businesses? Do you kind of have a niche down? Do you do brick and mortar, virtual?
No, my main main niche is the mission-driven entrepreneur, because I almost vicariously seek to impact the world through others who have a lot of vision and mission. And usually what I see is that the mission-driven, creative, heart-driven entrepreneurs struggle with the implementation and the execution. And I have a lot of strength there that I can bring to the table and just see things through, because it's usually right at the, you know, it's so much work to create something. And it can be the last couple steps of getting your message out there to the marketplace where it can really make an impact beyond a couple of friends and the 10 people that read your Facebook posts. It can be challenging. So that's what I help build out, is how do you get it out there where it can really make the impact that you're looking to make. And so I don't work with everybody because of that, because I don't want, you know, if I don't believe in your message, I'm not going to help you, just straight up, you know. But but absolutely, I love the mission-driven entrepreneur. Everybody, those who I do work with have phenomenal, you know, the product is phenomenal, their service is phenomenal. They have such big hearts. They love helping people. And it's just a matter of my impact in the world can be to get their wonderful, powerful product and message out there to a greater level. So that's what I'm driven, because I hate to see these mission-driven entrepreneurs struggling when they have so much to present, to provide, and they're not, and they feel like they're up against a wall. So that's where I step in.
Yeah, I love it.
Jackhammer out.
I love it. Just your passion for your mission just comes out so clearly and authentically. So wonderful. Thank you, Peter, for joining us today. And anybody who wants to get in touch with him and work with him and access that 45-minute call, email him at peter@greatmarketing.pro for all you mission-driven entrepreneurs out there.
Yes. Look forward to talking to you. And yeah, thank you, Chantal, for having me. This has been great. So really enjoyed the time.
Thank you for listening to the Create a Life You Love podcast. I would love to hear from you about your biggest takeaways. Share them with me on Facebook or Instagram at Create a Life You Love Coaching. If you love this podcast, be sure to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. It's very much appreciated. That's it for now. Enjoy the journey.